Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Feast, y'all.
Sell your old Nissan, man.
Sound like that plane just went down on the Crab Feast for your ass, man. That sound like a little biplane. Sound like Harrison Ford wrecking that plane out of Santa Monica, dude.
You started at a high register, man. You skipped over the awe and you went right to the air.
I just felt the tray tables bouncing all in there.
Jeez.
Good to see you, Jay Larson.
Good to be here with you, Sickle Cell. Good to be here with you, Feaster Nation. Jay Larson Comedy here, .com, and Jay Larson Comedy across all social media. I'd like to take one moment to tell you how much I appreciate you guys and how much I appreciate our fans. We got the best fans in podcasting, no question. Every time I see you and every time I interact with any of you guys, it just makes me proud, like you're my little children. And I'm just happy to be a part of this with you guys and glad that you guys are listening and supporting, because we wouldn't do it or couldn't do it without you. September 23rd, I'll be at Super Secret Show at the Lyric in L.A. And then on October 3rd, Ryan and I will be telling a story together at the Neuromelt Theater at Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles. Sickles, if anyone's wanting, this is pre-recorded, so we have a baby, and I'm sure people are going to be saying congratulations. So thank you for your congratulations, whether or not you did or not. I love you. I love you, Ryan.
Congratulations.
Well, it's preemptive.
Thanks, man. I don't know if preemptive is a word, but Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Ryan Sickler Official on Facebook. Sorry about that. RyanSickler.com. TheCrabFeast.com for all your Crab Feast related info. You can get your merch there. We will be restocked on all the classic shirts, the FTCFs, Tuesdays, the hoodies. It's all coming back. We hear you. We hear you screaming. Thank you for supporting through Amazon. So excited to see how much you guys are digging that new premium episode, man. Dana Gould and Ian Carmel are fantastic. And,
sick.
It's such a good episode. They're all over there on the premium app link for $1.99. And for any way you want it, you can get it now. Thank you for the love on the Facebook fan page and our iTunes page. Make sure you follow All Things Comedy on social media. And we're excited to have Touch of Modern back again. You know, for anyone that wants to stay on top of the latest styles and trend, but find it difficult to always be on the lookout for the next big thing, now you can easily find the newest products and stylings for your home, office, closet, and even electronics all in one place at touchofmodern.com. If you're looking to upgrade your style without upping the price, touchofmodern.com has all the latest trends at the best prices anywhere. TouchOfModern.com connects directly with top designers. They have timeless and unique products. Each item is hand-selected to grab your attention, all at unbeatable pricing. I look at it daily. There's always so much cool stuff.
I'm on it right now. Yeah. And let me just say, there's so many. Here's the deal. If you're clothing, home decor, like guys that like cocktails, you want to make those round ice cubes that you get like when you're out at like a fancy cocktail bar, you can get this on here. And it's $100 cheaper than what it costs at retail. Dope leather bags right here. Look at these leather bags. They're sick.
Beautiful.
$200 to $300. And you know what? Because my wife works in this industry, a lot of times when they overmake stuff, they just sell it to these guys directly, and that's why they get them at a cheaper price, because they just have so much stuff. There's so many cool things. And the thing that I do love about it, I think I've said this before, is that they will run out. You know what I mean? It's not like this is like they keep making these. Once they have them, it's on here. And when that sales up and they run out, it's over.
Gone.
So get on
it. It's like the old Crab Feast merch. They have jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear, sleek iPhone cases and accessories, new and vintage watches. It's everything. And they have new sales literally launching every day. TouchOfModern.com is the one website to discover and elevate your lifestyle in a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when you sign up at TouchOfModern.com. That's all you have to do is sign up. That's TouchOfModern.com. Do it today because tomorrow it will definitely be different.
Oh, sorry, man. I'm looking at the I'm looking at these
looking
watches,
touch of modern, man.
I'm looking at this, I can't even deal, man.
Looking at
I
just, touch of modern.
All right. Listen, we're excited about our guest today. First time on the Craft Feast. We've been introducing you guys a lot of new guys, and we're excited about this one. Please welcome for the first time, Mr. Andrew Slater. Welcome to the Craft Feast.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for being here. We're excited to have you here.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to be here. These are posh studios, you got
all things comedy right here. Always does it right.
Yeah,
we have a couple more. This is the B studio, and there's a couple.
Sorry, put the B guests.
Yeah,
in the B studio.
Yes, we don't want to bring them into the high rollers.
I hear you.
With like a fridge in there, and
I understand with the Ralph's water, not even the real like Dasani or anything.
Look, you're lucky it's not Nestle, man. I don't know if you've ever had that. Their bottles are just like wet paper towels.
Guess where they bottle that water. California.
Nestle does?
They sure do. And you know what they said about the drought? We'd bottle more if we could.
They're like smokers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'd smoke if I had two holes in my neck.
They're like the tobacco companies, what they're like.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's up, man? Good to see you.
It's good to be here, man.
Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on social media, and you have an announcement to make as well.
Of course. You can find me on social media at Andrew Slater, and my website
Sleigheter,
like a sleigh, and then
tur.
That's I used to think I should do a bit like Al Lubell. You remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
He used to have a bit about his name to get people to remember him.
He would sing it, right?
Yeah, and he'd say it like 1,000 times in like a 10-minute set. So I used to think I should do a bit about my last name, and that's as far as I've gotten. Slay, like a sleigh, and then tur. So, or you can go to andrewcomedy.com. That has all that stuff on there. And on September 17th, I'm going to be on Conan doing stand-up.
So congratulations.
Check that out.
Definitely check that out.
And I'll be in Rochester and Toledo, so you can look at that on the website.
Right on, man.
Yeah, super pumped.
Toledo.
Holy Toledo.
Funny Bone?
No, a place called Laughs.
Laughs.
Yeah, I don't know.
Two F's.
I've never been there before. 14 F's. I decided to just go crazy with it.
Crush those F's.
We got extra paint, man. Go ahead with it. Fuck it. Just how many?
It's the zaniest comedy club in the world. It's all F's. Yeah, so
I've been to Toledo. They got a minor league baseball team there.
Mudhens,
I'm
right?
sure they
the
do.
The Mudhens still there. But it's a dope little field right there in downtown Toledo.
Really?
Wonder how close the club is.
I would go. I'm sure I'm going to have
maybe check it out. Maybe
free time.
Maybe they'll let you throw out a first pitch. Let them know. Fresh off of Conan. Hey.
Yeah, the big stars.
So, you just got married.
I did. I just got married. Thank you very much.
It's a lot.
Look at Byron Allen over
I
here.
I did. I just gave a comment.
You said Byron Allen.
I'm like, what do you think of marriage?
Have you heard that thing about Byron Allen where I can't remember who. I think Norm MacDonald told the story one time, but he was Byron Allen was doing a show, you know, and he turns to a comic. He goes, "So I hear you're getting older."
I can hear Norm saying it too, like
a real question he asked on the show. But yeah, I did get married up in Montana. I don't know, you guys ever been to Montana?
I have been to Montana.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful,
well. Great country up there,
Western Montana, a little town called Charlotte. My wife's name is Heidi. Her uncle's ranch up there, and we had a bachelor party out on the lake. Bunch of dudes, Flathead Lake, beautiful. Perfect.
What are you on, pontoons? What are you on out?
We had the one ski boat kind of thing, and then the two jet skis. So we had a little crew rolling through. And
wait a minute, who are those? Her uncle's all his gear?
No. We rented this. My okay. best man Jason rented a bunch of stuff, and it was me and like my brothers and 10 other guys, and we just all crammed on there, two people on each jet skis, and just go like from bar to bar. They got like bars right on the lake and stuff.
Oh man, really? So, just pull
yeah,
up?
Yeah, Flathead Lake is like amazing if you ever get a chance to go.
Had you been there before?
Yeah, we went. That's where we got engaged and stuff. And
wasted. You're just like, fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty fucked up at the time, I think. But we went. So we're going to just bar to bar, you know, stopping everywhere, grabbing drinks. And then, like, the jet skis would run, like, scouting missions. You know, we're tubing on the boat out, and so they'd see if it's cool, little beach area, whatever. And Brant Tobler, who you guys know,
sure,
takes a scouting mission out, sees just one dude on the dock, right? And he's just by himself on this dock, and it's got, like, a big high dive, probably, like, 20, 25 feet up.
Is this his personal dock?
Yeah, it's a house.
Okay.
It's just a house, and one dude just kind of standing there. So Brant just goes over, like, makes friends with the dude, whatever.
Of course.
And he motions for us to come over. He's got this diving board. It's got, like, caution tape all around it, and it looks all, like, fucked up, you know? So Brant is, of course, like, hey, can we break your dive? We want to, like, break it, jump off of it, and see if we can break it. And the guy's like, yeah, it's my uncle's place. We don't give a fuck about it. He has to get rid of it anyway.
Wait a minute. Whose idea was Brant just said,
yeah,
why
yeah.
don't we break this
board? Well, it sounded like a good idea because, you know, we're drunk. And it'd be funny, I guess, to see someone jump off a diving board and break it and have it fall behind you. So I go out there, and I'm like, yeah, man, let's break this diamond. The guy's into it. It's his uncle's place.
Totally
uncle's
not into there. It,
yeah, no problem. So I go
How many
there.
Of you show up? Like four of you guys at his
yeah,
place
Yeah, I
now?
Think there was like
just
four of
everybody
there was
off.
Two jet skis worth. There's a couple people anchored out on the boat watching it from afar. And four of there's like my buddy Sean and his friend Josh out there on the dock.
And like then, how broken? Like as soon as you step
well,
on this thing, it's
thing.
Going? Or you don't really know if it really will break?
That was the thing. I wasn't sure that it was even going to break. I was a little skeptical because I was like, it's been here this whole time. You know, it seems
survive
like it's been
winters,
there
maybe.
Yeah, there's harsh winters up there in Montana.
You know?
A lot of 0 degree temperatures. So I go out. I'm giving it the first shot. And I kind of think it'll be fine. But I go out there, jump. And so, you know, it's one of those springy.
How high up
boards.
Are you?
I thought about that earlier today, but I think, like, I'd say 20
oh, that's,
feet.
That's a good drop.
Yeah, no, it was a serious.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's two
it
stories.
It wasn't like 30. Yeah.
That's two stories.
Yeah.
That's a good, drop, dude. That, on a good
I mean,
diving board, that's fucking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not an easy one.
So I go out there and I go for it and I do the full like as if I had full confidence in the diving board.
You did
so
like
I take
a
the
complete
one step
Olympic jump
down,
spring, yeah,
going up and thinking you go up. Except when I did that, it was like the two steps, jump, and then you're expecting that spring back. But I just heard like, and I heard it, and then I just like slipped off the edge.
And gravity
just,
was like, come
feet,
here real quick.
But the, exactly. And then the board did not follow. The board was stayed up there.
Oh,
but
it
there
stayed.
Was no spring back.
So the spring right. broke.
Well, yeah, I definitely broken. Heard a snap, but that was, I just went in the water.
Might
so
have been
then,
your neck, man.
Well, so then Brant goes next. Uh-huh. He's going to try and break this thing, right? So he goes out there, same thing, like step, step, and then it's just gone. The
it
thing just
break?
Snaps behind him, falls down. It's just, it's beautiful. It's like exactly what
if
everybody
anyone
wanted
to crack
like.
The backboard and he fucking
oh,
shattered.
Yeah, yeah, like Shaq, yeah. man, just breaking yeah. the if the Shaquille O'Neal equivalent to an Olympic diver, if they could break diving boards, that'd be amazing.
And did it fucking fall and hit him in the head and shit? Like
no,
a
no.
big ass diving board. They're not light.
Of course not. No, nothing would happen to a bad decision made by Brant. So it, yeah, falls in the water. The dude, I think the dude is going to be pissed because he was talking a big game, but he was like lonely. He wanted to hang. Like we gave him a beer. He's like, oh man, nobody's given me a beer before. This is great. And I was like, all right.
He's like, I'm 12.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have been. No, I don't know. He seemed like an adult. But then, so we get out of the water. We're laughing. It's like, oh my God, man, I can't believe that happened. They got it on video. So we're watching the video back and everything. And having a good time. And this guy is just talking Brant's ear off now. He's just like talking to Brant.
And how old do you think this guy is?
Oh, he's like in his 20s.
Okay, he's
yeah,
a young
yeah.
guy. Right.
Yeah, he's a young guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm kind of standing off on the dock with my buddy Josh and Sean. And Brant is talking to this dude. In the corner. And I can tell Brant's like trying to get away. He keeps like moving towards the house. Like trying to get out. He's still in the water, but it's like up to his waist. And he's trying to, he's just
Wait,
walking.
Why is he trying to get to this guy's house?
Well, I'll tell you why.
He trapped him while they were waiting.
Yeah. this guy keeps
hey,
like,
let me holler at you
talking his ear off.
Well, that awkward walk over there.
And I'll tell you why he needed to get out, because he needed to take a shit. And he was trying to get to the woods by this dude's house to shit in the woods. Well,
He shits himself at least once.
He has a problem. Yeah. He has a real problem.
Didn't he shit a tuxedo once?
Yeah, corduroy pants and everything. Yeah, denim suit. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a real shit problem, and he's always shitting his pants. So he's got a shit, and he can't hold it like a normal human being. So, but this guy's not giving him a window, like a look away to us or anything, so he can go shit in his uncle's yard. So he just shits in the what? He just shits in the
right
lake.
There while the guy's talking.
While
the guy's talking to him, shits in the lake.
How the fuck corn get in this lake, man? It's disgusting.
He shits in the lake.
So then.
That's so filthy.
And he tried to play it off. Now, this is the amazing part.
Hold on.
Imagine we're making eye contact.
Yeah, hold on a second. Hold on.
Okay. Questions. I have things I need to talk about. He's wearing a bathing suit, first of all. I don't know what type of bathing suit he's wearing, but some have that net.
There's no net.
I mean, that'd be the responsible way to go about shit in the lake. It's like, hey, I'll dump this out
at restaurant, seafood restaurant net. They lay over their fake beer.
No net. I think like cargo or what do you call it? Board shorts, I think is what he had, which is perfect for shit in your pants.
I have to say this. I went houseboating like years ago and we went last minute and... Long story short, the equivalent of what we got was a trailer on the water, and that you couldn't use the bathroom. There were 10 of us, and it just couldn't sustain it. So the rule was, if you shit, you line it with a plastic grocery bag, and you shit in the bag, you wrap it, you get it out of there. If you have to pee, you can pee, but just pee in the water.
Yeah.
And if you can't shit in the trailer.
Sounds like some sophisticated outing.
I mean, you shit in the water. That was the rule.
Yeah.
So... One day, someone went in our toilet against all rules, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I went out in the water, and I was swimming, but I was up to my neck, you know, and I'm treading, and I'm shitting in the water like that. It was fucking awesome. It was so easy.
I'm sure it is, but you're swimming in shit at that point.
No, it was behind me. I'm swimming away from it. And the rule was don't go anywhere near the thing. So I'm way over there, and I'm going, and... It was fantastic. But what my whole point is, it wasn't easy. Like, it wasn't, like, how did he have a conversation with a dude and
he's
still
professional, dude.
Maintained eye contact.
That's what I'm talking about. It
while
wasn't
you're
easy.
Shitting in his
Once
uncle's.
It happened, I was like, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. My son will shit staring at you because, you know, he's a little kid. He's 17 months. But he'll just be sitting there and his face will go red and he keeps eye contact and like, dude, this is really weird that you're taking a dump right now in your pants and your eye contact with me. But he's 17 months. He's not a grown human being.
He's not Brant Toebler.
Yeah. So this is when the story gets weird, which I know is might already be weird. But so this guy, so he's talking, he's shitting, thinking maybe I got away with it, right? But then he comes over, he stops talking to Brant, he kind of walks over here. And we're all on this dock. It's like an L shape.
You're out of the water now.
I can't remember if Brant was out. I think Brant got out of the water at this point.
After shit in the water. And then he got casually out.
The guy sees the shit. He sees it. And he's like, what's that? And he does. And Brant doesn't want to lie. Think it is. Like, I mean, it's a huge lake. So he just thinks like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I had to shit. And I shit. And it's floating. Which we did research. Because I was like, yeah, all shit would float, but then...
Why would it? Doesn't
no,
it
a lot
not
of,
all of it,
yeah,
though.
Exactly. That's some right. shit sinks, but his shit floats, which I don't know if it's healthy or I assume is not healthy.
Might have something to do with his condition.
So what'd the guy do?
He went crazy. Racist crazy. So he starts dropping N-bombs like crazy. He's like, I'm not comfortable saying it, but
don't.
He's like, you're just going to shit? You're just going to shit? In the lake, some little N-word. You're gonna just shit like a little N-word with shit in the lake, and he's dropping it like 30 times. And I'm drunk, so I'm not even like.
Listen, man, we just came over here,
which I like
broke your diving board. Now you want to get in our face, you mother.
Which I didn't know. First of all, we never met the guy, so people who are that comfortable being racist immediately with strangers is always weird. But then
they're called
what
racist.
Stereotype. That's right.
They're called racist.
They're called racist. Racists have never been shy about being racist.
That's right.
P.S. He's at like a different level of racism because he's not being racist towards anyone. He's using racist slurs because he just can't. He was comparing you to a racial slur to be racist.
I think what happened was his brain just he was so mad he short circuited and the anger that he has towards black people is what
came out
in that moment.
And test
exactly. And there's none of us. I know black friends. We had one Asian guy on the boat. That's as close as we got to having any minority.
You're getting a little racist. All right.
We kept him out in the boat. We said, please don't come out.
Please. I mean, this guy will go nuts on you.
Hold the anchor.
So, yeah, he just kept dropping that. And I was so drunk. I was like, I at first I didn't realize, like, because I think everybody's instinct was, let's just get out of here. Like, he might be crazy, whatever.
But can we hold on 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead.
With where this guy might be crazy. Let's just assume people who have a house on a lake and you're standing in knee or waist-high water swim in that area. It's pretty much like he just took a dump in a pool. I think the guy has, I'm not saying racism needs to come out, but the guy clearly has a point. You just took a shit.
I agree with you. Brant was like firm on he did nothing wrong because it's a huge lake. He's like, it's going to float away.
Bad choice of words.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not firm. It's the first time he's ever been firm.
It's just going to float away, huh?
Yeah, but I kind of see your point. I do think that it's inconsiderate to shit in someone's swimming area of their, like, a beach.
I would agree because I just spent days doing that up in Seattle.
Yeah.
If somebody shit right there, I'd be pissed off, yeah.
But yeah, so we...
Especially while they're making eye contact with me.
I would be like, I go a second,
props for doing that, but are you
props for
serious?
Sure. I wish the guy had asked. When did you do it?
Right, yeah. Like,
then when you were going on and on about your uncle, then.
So he just got the fuck out of it. But I mean, I kept trying to change the subject. I thought, because like, he was mad at us, and then I was drunk. I was just out of it. And then finally my friend Sean was like, hey, man, we just got to go. And
yeah,
we just
left. Go.
And he's just screaming N-words.
While you all
while we made
away?
Our escape on the jet skis.
Both on the jet skis? Yeah. How did Brant, like... It's unbelievable.
He wasn't on my jet ski.
You guys were like within arm's reach of the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he wanted to fight, he could have fought. He didn't fight. I mean, he didn't have any notion to fight. He just wanted to be racist.
He just wanted to be upset about the fact that someone just took a shit where he swims.
Yeah.
Or his kids swim.
Which I guess, you know.
Definitely has a point.
Yeah. I think he has a point up to not saying the N-word is where I would.
Sure. Sure.
Is where I would put it. But.
But I'm sure that you're never really going to talk him out of that.
That was a highlight of the bachelor party. Then we got married up in Charlotte, which is this little town, her uncle Dickie's ranch.
Hey, just real quick.
Yeah.
The highlight.
You
want
to close this out?
The highlight of your bachelor party was someone took a shit in a lake. That was the highlight.
That was the highlight. I think so.
That is a successful bachelor party.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
I don't know. How do you top it? We couldn't top it from there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, man. Then we got married. This Uncle Dickie, their crazy uncle, and just invites these neighbors over. He meets in the bar the night before. We had just, it was like the craziest hillbilly shit you've ever seen in your life.
That was the wedding?
The wedding.
Random.
He invited, her uncle, it was at her uncle's place up there, and he sees these guys in a bar the night before. And he's just like, he's like one of these guys. He just loves everybody. He wants everybody to have a good time or whatever. He invites them over. And so they come like late after the ceremony, but like into the reception pretty far, and they sit just in like a line. They all have walkers, you know, they're older, and they just sit on their walkers.
People with walkers. In my head, they're in their 40s.
That's what I'm thinking too.
So they sit in like a line, just like observing us. It was the fucking weirdest thing.
How they
dress.
There's people you don't know at your wedding.
Yeah. I mean, you already have people you barely know at your wedding, but then people have just nobody knows.
Yeah.
And my buddy Anthony DeVries is a comic, and it's right up his alley. He loves fucking weird people and weird shit. So he went over and talked. He couldn't wait to come talk to these guys, and they were talking for a while. But he said they told him, yeah, thanks for having us. Pa hasn't left the house in 5 years.
So they came out for that, dude.
Yeah.
Sound like sweet people.
That's nice, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was, and then we went to Mexico.
How many people did you have at the wedding?
Like 80.
Okay, so small.
80,
so I knew 15 of them.
Yeah.
New 15 of them.
So it was a lot.
83, yeah.
So five more, that's like high percentage-wise to have crashing the wedding.
Yeah, how'd you meet your wife?
Oh, man, we met. She is a...
Oh, man.
We met on doing stand-in work. I don't know if anybody, if you guys ever did a long time ago, did extra work or anything like that. Well, I signed up for Central Casting when I first moved down here. Everybody's, that's this thing where they take your picture and you, they like.
It's the opposite of Central Booking.
Yeah. Well, not quite. It's pretty similar.
Try to get you actually. Work.
It's all the same people. So then, and then they're supposed to call you for like extra work. Like you stand in the background, whatever. $100 usually for the day, free lunch.
And food, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good deal. I figured I'd be good. When I first moved down here, I was like, hey, man, $500 a week, free meals? I was going to be great. But I didn't know they never fucking call. Like, you have to, like, call in to them every gotcha. Day. So I never got anything. But then finally I got a phone call, and they don't tell you what it is, but they're like, hey, are you available? I was like, yeah. So I go.
Oh, you go blind into that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, at first I told them no, because then they said, I said yes, and then I said no because the Seahawks were playing on Thursday Night Football the next day, yeah. and I knew, like, you'd never get out. There's no way anybody gets out, like, by 5 o'clock. So I canceled. Then they called me back, and I couldn't believe it. And they're like, hey, you said you can do this. We need you. We need you. And I was like, what the fuck? What could you possibly need? There isn't another 6-foot white dude.
Yeah.
In Hollywood. And they paid me double. So I went. I went to the thing.
So you wait. And if you just play hard to get a little bit, you'll get a double out of it?
I think that's what I'm telling extras out there. Is hold out. Non-union extras, if you're listening, hold out, man.
Hold out for double.
There's not enough people who can just eat a sandwich behind talented people. So I go, and it's like the fucking weirdest. It's always the weirdest people. Any extras or I did paid audience work, which is lower than
oh, that's
being
the
an
lowest,
extra.
Bro.
That's when I went and like clap the hands in the audience right. and fucking they give you like $8, and they don't give you lunch. They give you like trail mix.
Yeah,
no, you got to wait in line.
Once in a while. I did crowd warm up.
I
knew those guys.
So, you'd see the same people over and over again, right? Yeah. So it's
complain. You know what? We're getting off. That's what they would say. I'm like, I have no idea.
Isn't that a weird dynamic that you're entertaining people who are paid to be there?
Dude.
So it looks like everyone's having a good time on television.
One time they were I'll wait. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so we're at this thing. And they're like, go up to wardrobe. They're all mean to you, you know? And I go up there, and they're like, who are you supposed to be? And I didn't even know what she... I was like, I'm Andrew. I'm here to be the extra or whatever. Like, no, who are you supposed to be? It's like, I'm supposed to be a comedian.
Listen, you call me, man. I'm supposed to be.
I mean, but I'm doing this shit because it's probably not. And then they get so mad. Like, who are you supposed to be? I was like, I don't know. And finally somebody said, he's Leo. He's the Great Gatsby. And that's what I had to do. I had to stand Whoa. In and pretend to be Leonardo DiCaprio. Because they had
He's 6 foot?
I guess. So they had to.
Are you 6 foot?
Yeah, I'm 6 foot even. I think I'm a little heavier than he is. But then they. They had to reshoot all the scenes for Tobey Maguire. So he wasn't there. Leonardo DiCaprio.
They just shoot over the shoulder and give Toby eye lines and all that stuff.
Because they shot it all in like Australia, and that's why it's like non-union shit here. So that's why they didn't use like his regular stand-in or whatever. So I guess that's why they needed me so bad. And they have to like put the suit on me, and they cut my hair to look like a hair. They put this watch, all this jewelry, you know, all this fancy shit. But this guy's such an asshole. He puts the watch on me, and he goes, that's the most expensive watch you're ever going to wear.
Wow.
It's like,
what was it?
I don't fucking know. It was the Great Gatsby, the once-in-a-lifetime fucking...
It might be.
It might be. You might be right.
Well,
put it this way. Rafael Nadal and Bubba Watson, they are sponsored by his watch company, and they're like $250,000 for the watch. So if it was like something like that...
It was a Casio. It was just a digital.
It was a swatch, man.
You could time it.
It was blinking 4/8, man. Yeah. This motherfucker.
You could like set it. Yeah. You could go underwater and shit with it. I mean, it was pretty fancy.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
That's great. So how many days did you do? So wait, were you doing actual scenes with Toby?
Yeah. So
that's
what.
Sick.
So I had to do, I think we did like 3 days. They really did only use me one day. Every other day was kind of like a waste. I did like a couple things. But the director's name is this guy named Boz Luhrmann. He's like a squirrely fucking little Australian guy, right?
Well, would you call him squirrel if you could say it to his face?
Yeah, man.
Boz Luhrmann! Get your ass in here, Boz!
Come on, what man.
Bring your cousin, Brian! Deep cut, play it.
So yeah, so he's like giving me like, I got to do the lines and shit. Like, I don't know how to act at all. And they, I got to do lines with this dude and fucking like
the Tobey Maguire. You mean.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire.
This dude.
This dude, fucking Spider-Man. And so, yeah, so then we did that and everything. And Heidi, my wife, was doing stand-in work for the Jordan character. And that's how we met.
Michael Jordan was in that?
Yeah, Space Jam 3.
How tall is your wife? Dude, so you guys are like the Kmart Great Gatsby couple,
man.
No
shit. Yeah, we're the fucking background.
So you met your wife on a Hollywood movie where
first of all,
she was your love in the film as all stand-in. Was she your love for that character? Is that who this girl is, right?
Jordan? Yeah,
that's the chick.
I don't read.
Nick Carraway was who Tobey Maguire played. You played Gatsby, and then...
Yeah.
You guys met during the war, but you were too poor, man. You haven't seen it?
Wasn't that Robert Redford?
We did see it.
That movie's, I don't care what anyone says, the original was Redford.
Yeah.
This
one in high school
is dope. I love it how they, like, Jay-Z's music's in it. They mix the two of them, you know, when they're, like, racing into the city and shit, dude.
You liked it? Yeah, we didn't love it. We saw it because we felt like we had to.
We loved each other. I mean, so tell me about, like,
that's dude, badass
you did
to meet
see
your wife.
The Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, and so there's this part where... Like, here's a scene we did, like, a fucking thousand times, was I had to put my hand on his shoulder. It's, you know when it is? You've seen the movie, so you know.
Yeah.
It's when he first finds out he's talking to the Great Gatsby. So he's clueless at first.
At the party?
He's running his mouth about what a show-off he is and shit. But then, he kind of reveals, like, I'm the Gatsby or whatever. I don't know. Is it Batman?
Gatsby.
No. So,
old sport.
So I put my hand on his shoulder, like reassure him to let him know it's okay. And I don't even remember the line, but it's okay or something. And then we do that. I'm telling you, like it made me lose all appreciation for actors or acting because we did it like a thousand fucking times, like the same thing over and over again. And he would cut it. And he'd tell him, like, do it like this. And we'd do it the exact same way, like a thousand times. I couldn't believe how long it took. And so, but we keep doing this. And after a while, he yells, cut. I'm like, Jesus Christ, are you serious? Like, he still didn't. Like, I'm
an, Toby, what the fuck, dude?
I'm being a diva. I mean, they called me. So, and he talks to me. He cuts.
He's giving you a direction.
I'm not doing the fucking hand acting right. I can't even I'm like a robot. I can't do the human emotion of comforting Tobey Maguire.
Well, you should have been like, dude, listen, man.
He's like, do it, but do it real, which is like a devastating.
Seahawks are down 10 right now, okay? So.
I think they were, too.
Dude, that's pretty amazing. Don't you wish you could go back in time and, like, fuck with Tobey a little bit? Like, just be making weird faces and shit?
Well, then I read this story in, like, Vanity Fair that he's like a big, he was super nice, but he's like a big asshole in these poker games. You guys read about that?
No. But I like to judge people off of my experience with them. So it sounds like he's a really good guy according to what you've...
Nah, man. If I know you and you're cool, but then I read something about you...
Fuck it.
It's all over.
I like your style.
Yeah, man. That's how we met. And then I asked her out and that was it. But she does comedy. The thing is, she does comedy. She does improv and stuff in stand-up. But we never met doing that.
And how long had you been in L.A. when you guys met, though?
Oh, a while, like 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
So I think Rye made a valid point earlier. We kind of brushed over, but she didn't have a fucking choice, dude. She's on a Hollywood set playing this lead.
This girl, it's a
Leo DiCaprio. She fell in love with Leo, man. Yep.
I never thought about it like that.
You're in a junior varsity squad.
She's going to wake up in 10 years and be like, what the fuck am I doing? I got
met
trapped
my husband
in this
on
thing.
A movie set, and then, 10 years from now.
Because the story, you just do it for the story of how you met. You don't want to say, meet a better guy, but then say we met on, like, Match.com.
She thinks you're Leo, is what I'm saying here.
She doesn't think I'm Leo.
Yes, she does.
Like, I'm the fucking, like you said, the JV squad.
Do me a favor.
I can't even talk. That's why I fucking...
When you go home tonight, look around the house a little bit. See how many Leonardo DiCaprio things are there. You can see him sprinkle them around anywhere. You'll, like, see a picture where you've been photoshopped out. Leo's in
there. Our wedding pictures are just all...
Leo?
Just promotional materials from The Great Gatsby.
God, that's sick. You should have... If you had known that ahead of time, you could have worked them for way more than double rate. You could have been like, listen, you need me?
Well, you know what somebody told me is if you get direction...
They don't need me. They definitely needed you.
$200 was the double the rate.
Yeah.
They got you for a song, man.
Dude. But they don't need... I still don't see why, It's just more convenient. They're just some lazy dude. It's easier to pay me more than fucking go through the list again.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably did the same thing with that director, it sounds like. Just calling any old motherfucker and like, do it again. Make it look real this time.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, do it, but do it.
Touch him with some emotion.
Do it real. Don't do it like a fucking emotionless robot. So, yeah.
We were talking off mic before, and there were a few stories that you had mentioned. One of the ones I'd like to hear about is this NFC Championship game.
Oh, yeah, man. So I went to Seahawks-Packers. You guys remember that game, how fucking crazy that was.
Yeah.
Where they
was that
came
this
back.
Past year?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only game I remember from last year was the big one. The one at the end?
I don't remember that one. See, I blacked out the last 30 seconds. I mean, it seemed good to me. But
I was up in Seattle on this guy, Donna's friend's husband. I really like him a lot, Ed. He had a flag said repeat, and I just held up and just shook my head like that.
God damn it.
Repeat Carol.
It was fucked. But we deserved the sucker punch that we got the way we won the NFC Championship game. I don't know if you guys remember.
I remember.
It was the crazy, and it was all things that the Packers had to do to fuck it up.
Yep.
I mean, they had to basically shoot themselves in the foot like 15 times for us to even have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at this game, and I used to have season tickets with my brother when I lived up there in Seattle, and you get to know the fucking people, just the degenerates
that are around
in your
you.
Section, and they're just the worst, and all of them are, you know...
Guys shitting in lakes and stuff.
Guys shitting in lakes. Fucking... So, fucking racist to their uncle's docks. So then, I mean, a lot of them are probably racist. But there's this one guy who would always sit to our right, and we used to call him Papa Pessimistic. That's what we call him, because he was a dad. He used to bring his, like, little kid, this redheaded kid, and he would just bitch the whole thing. Like, he hated it. He got no enjoyment from it. It was just...
That was his enjoyment.
Yeah, it was just bitching about the coach, bitching about the players.
Every play is
oh, it's like, fuck... And then if
the
they
fuck you
good,
running for?
And then the better they do, the worse it is.
Yeah.
Like, when his expectations... So, I go back, and these guys, like, pretend like they know you or whatever, so I haven't been around as much. I go to this game and we sit in the old seats, me and my brother. And this guy, and it's going bad, you know, just fucking, it's going really bad. This guy's on it. And then he gets on me. He's like, you fucking jinx. You're a fucking jinx, just in my face. And he's got his like 13-year-old kid sitting right there. You fucking, that he sees like once a month or whatever, but he's in my face, just mad at me. Because
I see him 8 times a year.
Because Seahawks it's like,
home games.
Yeah, it's because it's like I don't go to the games all the time anymore. I just came back for the big
game.
So the
cooler just came in.
Yeah, like I'm big time and I'm
like, you're probably getting in his face and like, whoa, man, that's Leonardo DiCaprio's stance, bro. I want to relax.
I don't want to watch your tone. So he fucking gets so, and he's young, and I go back at him, you know. I'm like, what the fucking jinx? I haven't seen him lose a home game in like 5 years.
Because they never lose at home.
Yeah, they never lose at home. So finally, it's like he leaves. He's one of like the, like, there's probably about 1,000 people who left that game early.
Mm-hmm. How early, though? How bad was it? How bad?
It was like, I think it was 19-7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like,
it was like
8 minutes left, 9 minutes left.
Two or three
like
score, two touchdown and a field goal, I think you needed to have. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't 19-8.
Seven.
That's two touchdowns.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was 22. I can't remember exactly the score, but it was bad. And I thought we were going to lose. I thought we were going to lose.
Everyone thought
that's
you
why
were gonna
you
lose.
Got
but
there.
But I'm going to stay.
You're the
I'm
jinx.
Gonna, yeah, but I'm going to stay to the fucking end of the game. But I thought we were going to lose. So he leaves. He brings his kid, and they go. And then of course we come back. Most miraculous comeback, you know, I've ever seen. We come back at win, and I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm going to go the home opener. Week 3, we play Chicago, the first game.
That's a home
regular
opener
season
for you guys?
Game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm going to sit in those seats, and this motherfucker comes. I'm going to get there early, too. I'm going to be there first, and when he comes, I'm just going to let him have it. So, oh, you, that's great. I'm the jinx, but your kid is never going to have – he's going to tell everybody for his whole life, I was at the greatest Seahawks game ever, and I missed the end because my jackass dad made me leave early.
You got to get a shirt made or something.
Yeah, yeah.
A T-shirt with an arrow and says, this jackass left the NFC Championship
like,
game.
Fuck you, we were getting hot dogs.
They fucking left. And this kid, man, he's like red. I mean, he's gonna have a hard enough time as it is. But then
being a redhead,
that, yeah, yeah, and like he's a little heavy. But the I just can't wait to.
Are they seats or are they bleachers?
They're seats. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm gonna just. I can't wait. I'm just gonna.
You gonna go with your brother?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm gonna
man.
Be there. It's gonna be.
You gotta, I want to go. I want to go see a game there. It's such an incredible stadium.
Yeah, it's the best, man. It's a good. It's a good atmosphere, and again, like the fucking. Because they take pride and all that. No, we do, but it's notoriously bad in Seattle because of all the permitting and the parking situation and shit. They try to push it out, but we just do it like back alley style.
Remember when we went to Seattle when we pulled like got off the train or
we
whatever
got
over
off
there
at the stadium?
Yeah, at the stadium, it was congested over there, and there wasn't even a game going on.
Yeah, it was tons of people packed in bars, but it was. I think the playoffs were coming or something like that, or we were there on a Saturday.
There,
you know, you guys are. You got a good team up there.
Yeah, they're good. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
I read an article yesterday on your new tight end. They say he's going to be 75% of the plays blocking, man. I'm just saying.
That's a lot.
They turn him into a third down receiver. That's
I love all the fucking training camp stories. Like, nobody fucking knows anything.
But... all I'm saying is in fantasy this year, Jimmy Graham ain't going high on my list.
Well, there you go, fantasy tips. I just like... he probably will have less just because we run the ball too much.
Run the ball a lot, and you got a quarterback. Like, you got Wilson though, long term now for four years,
$60 million,
80 I think, 20
oh
20 60, and change a year,
60 guaranteed. That's what
60 guaranteed.
60 guaranteed. 60 so no matter guaranteed. What he fucking does, he could just walk away or just
what he shouldn't be doing is playing second base. Is what he shouldn't be doing.
No shit.
Working on his deep
no
ball.
Shit.
Did you play sports in high school?
I did, man. I played football and basketball. I was not good at either, really. I was pretty shitty at basketball. We had a shitty team. We played – I went to Nathan Hale High School in Seattle, and it was pretty diverse racially, like a lot of Vietnamese kids, a lot of white kids, but then a lot of black kids. But then black kids were like, you know, Eritrean or whatever. Most of them had come over at some point. And so we didn't have, like, any sort of basketball prowess. We'd get killed by, like, Rainier Beach. Rainier Beach had, like, Nate Robinson when I was in high school. They had, like, fucking real players, you know? So we get killed all the time. So it was, like, a joke. Our basketball team was just a joke. I played all 4 years. I didn't row the bench varsity, like, senior year. But I was not good. But it was fun because we played – I played, like, C-team. So, the freshman team. It was just all white kids, just a bunch of goofy white kids. We get killed all the time. And my buddy Weston – was he played too. He was pretty good, but he in a C team game one time, he went up for a layup, got hit, broke his hip.
Broke his hip. What's he, 80?
No. He is kind of, it's like the oldest, whitest injury possible to break your hip playing basketball. So he's done for his season. And it was that old school thing. In C team, you don't have buses taking you to the games. You don't have like just have parents like dropping you off, like rec league ball or some shit. So we had my mom fucking took his jersey. He had to go to like the ER or whatever, so we took his jersey and washed it, and like flashed to like senior year, I'm cleaning out my closet, I find this dude's C team jersey. And so we were like, how funny would it be if we retired his CT jersey at like an assembly, like make a fucking huge deal of it. Nobody knows who Weston is. He doesn't play anymore. You know, he's fucking like never goes to any of that shit, dances or assemblies or anything. So we build it up so big.
Are you still boys with him at this point?
Yeah, yeah, we're good friends. So we plan it all out. We shoot a video to play, like fucking like a hype video to play during the assembly. We fucking
you have any
we
put old
up
footage
posters.
Of him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We shot footage at like a park by my house of him like falling down and then getting up and then like it's all inspirational. So then we put up posters. We just said we were very vague about it. We just like farewell to a legend, number 54, and we just put them up everywhere.
54 kind of basketball.
Just 54.
Eddie Pinkney was 54, man.
That's how white we were. Just fucking white ass numbers too. So we put up the posters everywhere. We people didn't know. They didn't know what it was, but we just said. And then the problem was we needed space on the assembly to do it because we weren't in like the student government.
Yeah, you get on the bill.
So what happened was there was the president of the school. She resigned. She stepped down over a kid, this black kid. He got suspended from a dance for drinking or something. They thought it was racist because everybody drinks at dances. Why do you suspend this one black kid? So she quit out of protest, leaving a power vacuum for us to step in.
Power vacuum.
So I went to the group and they're like fucking chickens with that. They don't know what they're gonna do. So I'm like, you guys don't know what you're gonna do. I can fill 20 minutes for you right now. You just don't have to do anything.
What is this assembly?
It's like one of those, didn't you do those with the
tug
of war?
Yes, but what was it for?
It's just end of the year, celebrate. I don't know. There was always a tug of war. That's what I remember.
Big tug of war.
And then fucking cheerleaders would come out and the athletes would run through.
Just like a senior rally.
Yeah. And they would announce something or whatever. And it wasn't like MLK Day or anything like that.
That would be tough.
Yeah, it would have been worse. So I get the space. Now I got the assembly set up. I got our space. And we got it all figured out. We got our posters up. People are trying to create a buzz, get people talking.
What
Farewell to a Legend is. And we go out there, and I get the jersey on a rope to pull it up into the rafters. We got a spotlight on it. We cut the lights.
Shut up.
We bring his parents. We walk his parents.
And he's in on this too, right?
Oh, yeah. We're just fucking around. So we start. We do the whole thing. We play the video, right? Cut the lights, play the video. We throw out t-shirts. We got the cheerleaders to throw out 54 t-shirts. Nobody fucking knows. Nobody knows.
Somebody out there still has that t-shirt somewhere for sure.
So we do the whole thing and we walk his parents out. He comes out with his parents.
Let's do this.
Yeah. They're hippies, They thought it was hilarious.
I would totally be down to do that. I'm like, let's do it.
And it's and the jersey itself is a C-team. It's the raddiest looking fucking jersey.
Like, it looks like a penny.
For the last 3 years, they've been going, where the fuck's 54?
Well, that's what happened. So the fucking, so we start. I give a little introduction. I'm in a suit. Weston's in a suit. He comes out. He walks out. People cheer. Some people are into it. Some people are buying into it. Some people are into the comedy.
Some people are
into the they actually, some freshmen probably just think, hey, man, this guy.
Man, who is this kid,
this
man?
Motherfucker. That's,
you got to respect.
A legend.
You got to respect.
You got Nate Robinson. We got Weston, man.
And there's no other jerseys in the rafters. Right. This is the first jersey ever retired in Nathan Hale.
And he's alive. He's alive, too. He's right there, man. He's a senior.
Yeah, he didn't die from the hip injury or anything. So we walk him out.
Are you the first thing in the assembly, or are you following something?
I think they did an opening. Did an opening, and then they announced what we're going to do. And then I just cut the lights. We had the spotlight, and we started the video. We had a big screen projector, and we projected the video up there. And then he comes out, and then I give a speech. Then he comes. I say, Weston Brinkley. And he comes out, and he walks.
And are people going nuts?
Yeah, well, so that's what I was saying. Some people are going nuts, ironically.
Lukewarm.
Yeah. Some people are just I'm here, I'm supposed to clap,
fucking Weston. Whatever.
And then some people are mad because they know it's bullshit, and they're they're sanctimonious about it.
Some kid averaged 18, 10, and 5. He's like, what the fuck is
that? That really was part of it. There were some pissed off people, coaches and stuff were actually mad.
Yeah, coaches were pissed.
So then he starts giving his acceptance speech, and I start raising the, raising the jersey in the rafters. And the spotlight.
I ran for 365 yards last week, man. Jesus Christ. What do I got to do? We got a spotlight on it.
So
ratty ass tank top called.
He's fucking stains on. There's still blood stains. So then he's halfway through his speech, and I'm pulling the jersey up, I'm securing it, whatever. And then all these kids start coming down from the bleachers. All these students just start marching down, and they're all black. They're all these black.
They're about
black
to form a protest
union. They're protesting for the very reason that our president resigned.
Yeah.
Over the guy.
When should we do it?
Yeah. And they didn't fucking know that we were going to be doing a jersey. They just thought they'd be walking down during some tug of war.
So there's a real protest in front of a fake retirement jersey.
Yeah. Ceremony. Oh, no.
Exactly,
you
got to
be
kidding. So they just mob the stage. Led by the president, she takes the mic, and Weston's just kind of doesn't even get to finish his speech. The jersey's still up there. They protest, and everybody just leaves.
The principal's there with them?
Not the principal. The president.
Yeah.
She
spoke and everything.
And she's just a kid like us, you know.
Oh, she just interrupted.
President of the black student union.
Yeah. Well, no, just of the school. She was just president of the school.
Oh, I thought.
She was white. She wasn't even black. So she takes over. Just like totally, they mob the stage. Weston's parents.
Muscled Weston and his parents.
Weston's parents, just these confused little white hippies. They just.
They got beat down. Beat up his parents.
They beat the shit out of him. They killed him. So then they take over, and that's it. That's the end of the protest. Like, that's the fuck. I didn't know what else to do.
Man,
I was like, what do you do now?
You got trumped.
Totally.
You got trumped.
By a real cause that we can't fucking fight. So. The only thing that happened then was
now the jersey's up in the rafters.
The jersey's in the rafters, and I walk out. I'm like, well,
spotlight's still on it.
No, the lights are on now.
Lights are back.
All the lights are on. The ugly gym's exposed again. You know, it's like all back to real life. And then I'm like, I'm gonna call that a win. I think that was good.
Yeah,
you know, that was pretty fun. And then this guy missed
because it had to happen that way because you could have never interrupted that real cause with a fake jersey retirement.
No.
Like you guys would.
No. If they had started before, we just would have pulled the plug.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're lucky you got that one spot.
Yeah, we had no idea. Like it's not like we were like, hey, let's make sure we get this ironic jersey.
How'd you get the? What happened with the jersey?
So the first thing that happened. So I'm just like, I'm like. I think that was pretty good, you know. I'm laughing about it, whatever. And then Mr. Newton, our basketball coach, walks over. He's like, I'm going to need that jersey back. So just pulling it back down, and then I have to pull it down and give it to him.
You should have had it. You should have punked the school again, had an unretirement ceremony.
Yeah, so that was it.
Listen, I guess my only question is, who won that tug of war, man?
Seniors, of course.
The only...
03. That's what you chant Your class name.
The only assembly. So when I was in high school, my senior year, there was our football team was ranked number one in the state.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
they were going to be the best. Okay. I played on the soccer team. This was my junior year. I'm sorry. They were ranked number one. These are all the kids that have been going through Pop Warner. My year, my junior year, we were the first kids in our town that got soccer from like 5 years old because we didn't have soccer in our town before that. You know what I mean? So now we're our soccer team has always sucked. Because kids never play growing up. Football had always been the sport, and baseball was huge in my town. We're a small town, by the way. Yeah. But we had, like, sick baseball teams, and they had good football teams. So they're number one in the state, and they're killing it, okay? I'm on the soccer team, and I'm also in the marching band, okay? And I hated the football team. They were dicks. They didn't care. They just walked through the school like they were, like...
Yeah.
They thought they were the shit. And I was friends with a lot of them. I had friends that were on the team. I had friends that were seniors, you know what I mean? But I just didn't like the way. And I'm in the marching band. I'm playing for them, you know what I mean? And I, like, I'm playing
forgot
for them.
Forgot about that, yeah.
I mean, come on.
They so, never thank
they score,
you.
I'm on the tritone. Yeah. So, like, on Fridays, I'd have soccer games Friday, and then I'd have to come back, shower up, and then go out and do marching band for the football team. You know what I mean? So I just had, like, crazy resentment towards this team. Mm-hmm. And there was this kid I worked with, and he hated the football team, too. He used to play, and he realized, like, all these this is the senior class. They just sucked as far as football attitude. There were some good dudes when you got them out of that environment, but when you got them in, they just sucked. So I decided to write an article in the school paper about how classless they were.
Here we go.
And they didn't respect anybody.
Here we go.
And they had no, like, as far as sense of pride goes and, like, who they disrespect. I had written in it, like, they ever ask you how your game goes? I had stuff like, hey,
how personal is that?
Hey, soccer team.
That's the most personal shit.
Hold on. I wrote it like from a third party, you know, like an anonymous perspective. So I'd say like, hey, football, soccer team, they ever ask how you do? Hey, cross country team, they ever ask how you do? And then I'd say like, you think they respect that marching band? And like, I did, name it. I had it in there. I had someone on the inside who was on the in the newspaper, got it into the paper. Our paper would come out.
This is your jersey ceremony. You're slipping it in.
Yeah. Bi-yearly, this paper would come out.
Bi-yearly?
You know what I mean? You know how hard it is to get a newspaper out in high school? So it's not like a TV where like they're like, oh, the paper's out, or like they have a radio station. So they were 6-0 when I put this thing in. Oh. It came out the day before Thanksgiving, which was going to be the Thanksgiving day. We had a half day that you have a half day, and we would do the assembly
on Thanksgiving Day.
No.
Day before.
Day before was Wednesday. Thanksgiving was Thursday.
Always
on that
is.
Wednesday. Thank
Always.
You. And game. So Wednesday would be the half day, and at the end of the school day, you do the big assembly for the football game the next day, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Wednesday morning, that's when this paper came out. And the school was a buzz. I mean, it was nuts. I had only told the kid that I wrote it with me, but I kind of did most of it. He was just there with me. My friend who slipped it in, and my best friend, Dave DeGeorge. Those are the only people who knew, and my girlfriend. Only people who knew that we got it into the paper and that I wrote it. So, I mean, everyone's going nuts. The football coach, P.S., they were 6-3 at this point, no longer ranked at all in the state.
I thought they were 6-0.
Wait, so
when
now,
I wrote it.
Oh, and when
but
I
they're
wrote,
more
I
lost
mad.
Three straight,
right,
bro.
Gotcha.
Character. What's up?
They're more mad because now they're like, fucking, you're going to pile on us after three straight losses.
And they
it
just,
looks bad.
Everything that I wrote was basically saying, like, these guys are characterless. They have nothing, and they've just lost three. And they're no longer this 6-0 number one team in the state.
Throwing shit on them when they're down.
Yeah. I was throwing shit on them when they were up.
Yeah.
Just happened to come out when they were down. So the football coach marches into, like, the English teacher who oversees the newspaper. I need to know who wrote this article. Through a thing, she's like, I can't reveal. That was someone on our inside. They don't reveal their sources.
Like she protected it?
Protecting
but did
me.
She know it was you, though?
She didn't. But
no.
Her editor, who right. I knew, was my friend Jen, she's the one who got it in. Every class I went to that day, every single, that's the only thing the teachers brought up. What do you guys think about this article? And what do you think about, you know, someone writing something like this? And T.O. Double, my boy Todd, he was on the football team. He's like, I think it's true. I think it's great. They're all wearing their shirts. You know what I mean? All the football players.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
One senior comes up to me, Rich Kirk. He's like, what's up, Larson? I go, hey, what's up, man? He goes, listen, a lot of the guys think you wrote this article. And I was like, Kirk, you know me. I remember this. We're walking through, like, to the science wing, these glass doors. I go, you know me. Don't you think if I had something to say, I'd just say it to your face? He goes, that's what I said, man.
Donnie Brasco.
And I'm like, I'm sweating it a little bit. I remember I'm about to go into a class, and I'm at my locker, and like the halls are almost empty, and my best friend, Dave DeGeorge, comes up to me, and he's like, Larson, he's like, what, this is fucking nuts. And I go, dude, I'm so nervous. He goes, it's like pump up the volume around here.
Pump up the
volume. Christian Slade is in the hallway. So we go to the assembly, right? The assembly is always this thing. And all they have is they had like a dummy made of our rival is Reading. We play them every Thanksgiving Day. That's our Thanksgiving Day game.
Yeah.
They got a dummy made of a Reading football player, and usually one guy will come out.
How'd you forget this story?
I've told it before.
I don't remember.
Long time ago. So they have the dummy, right, of the Reading football player.
This is like Fast Times at Ridgemont High shit.
They got the dummy. They're going to tackle. Someone's going to come out and tackle that thing, right? I'm over in the corner of the gym in the marching band. We're sitting there because we're going to play. You know, like, here they come on the dummy.
Oh, no.
They have the article, like, tack on the dummy.
Covering number 54 up.
Covering up 54, man. They all march out. They all march out as one team. The captain steps up to the microphone. He goes, if y'all don't want to support us, don't support us. You don't want to show up tomorrow. If you don't believe in our team, you don't need to come. And walked right out, and that was the end of the assembly.
Wow.
And guess what happened on Thanksgiving Day?
Lost their fourth.
They lost.
Not enough support.
I had a lot of friends on.
Not enough support.
I had a lot of friends on the football team, too, exactly the same way. And I remember one time, they were not good. They were never really good when I was there, and they were notorious for being bad for quite some time. And they did a homecoming, you know, this was the day of homecomings, like games that night. Mm-hmm. So doing assembly in the gym for the whole school. Mm-hmm. And they're carrying a makeshift coffin around. And we're all like, that is so ridiculously.
You guys getting in it?
Got their ass whooped.
We were like, that's so stupid. You guys suck. Why are you carrying a coffin?
Carrying a coffin.
Dude, carrying a coffin around like if we're going to kill somebody. They got destroyed. They were terrible.
I think the worse you are as a football team, the more shit you talk and the more you do that stuff.
I mean,
because we were bad all the time and we were fucking like that.
It's tough, man.
It's football tough to be good on a bad team. That's what's really tough. It's tough
especially
when you know
football.
You're better than kids on your team and you're just like, this team sucks.
Yeah. If you're nasty at hoops and your team sucks, you can still shine. If you're bad at football but you're good, You could be the best running back in the world, but if you can't, right. if you're getting the crushed. Line yeah. What if you're a great Does wide receiver?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No one can even get a ball to you.
That's why they don't do that, though. If you're good now, they know in like fourth grade and they fucking line you up to go to the best.
Get
there's just like these
school.
Factory schools now.
Yeah.
It's like powerhouses. We weren't that. We sucked.
The year after us, we sucked my senior year. I think they won one game. The highlight of my senior year was we had one kid on our team. He was on our baseball team. Our baseball team was nasty. We were number one in the state, 25th in the country my junior and senior year. And our number one guy, Peter Fisher, who got drafted out of high school and then got drafted out of college and played minor league ball for a while, he was the tight end. He was huge. But on Thanksgiving Day, they did a flea flicker to him. They like threw it out to him. It was a fake punt, and he hit the quarterback for a like long bomb. And I think they lost like 35-7, but it was tight. Like that's who played, baby. Tight. And then they won the state championship next year.
Did they really?
And then they've never—I don't think—won a game since.
Wow, they have like they wildly fluctuate.
No, it was just that I'm telling you, that kid the year below me, they had that kid Peter Fisher, and they had this kid Eric Lockhart, who was like 6'3". And it was just a stud running back. They ran like crazy, and they had Pete. And, you know, they just they won the state title in two different sports that year. They had a great team.
When I played basketball my senior year, we played Rainier Beach. And no one would ever go to our home games because we were bad. We didn't win a Metro League game, like the City League. We didn't win an actual City League game in, like, my entire time in high school.
Played 4 years, man.
Yeah, well, they won when I was on varsity. So like half a year in junior year and then senior year varsity, we didn't win one City League game. And so no one would come. We sucked. We were awful. And then we would go. With the only game people would come to is when Rainier Beach came to see us. And then they would pack the gym. We'd be packed because they just couldn't wait to see us get dunked on. That's just all these people just frothing out the mouth. To see us get dunked on. And then we would play at Rainier Beach, which at first you're like intimidated, you know, because it's like, I think they're going to talk shit to you and the crowd's going to be like, you know, super aggressive. But really they don't. They just, we were so bad, they would clown their own team for not being up by enough points. That's the way they do it. So you would think there's all these, you know, like super aggressive. And they're like, fuck, you're going to let that little white boy score on you? What the fuck is wrong with you? And they never talk shit to us. They'd always talk shit to their own team.
You're like, right. You're talking shit with them? Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man.
They should be up at like 40. What the fuck? So we played our home game. My senior year, our home game, we played Rainier Beach. They had like three like real prospects and Nate Robinson. He wasn't even considered the best. Like, he was short, you know? So he wasn't even considered the best among those guys at the time.
He's a Kevin Hart of basketball, man.
Yeah. Just because he's short.
Yeah.
So, that first half, though, we were just on fire. Like, we had this kid, Nick. He's just hitting threes, draining. And I think we were, like, up by two at halftime. And the crowd's going crazy. Because they came to see us get dunked on, but now it's switched. Now they're like, what if the fucking one time they won a game, they beat, like, the best team in the state? And then we could hear from our locker room. So our locker room, I was like on one end of the gym, and their locker room, we could hear their coach. Our coach is giving us a speech. We could hear their coach just laying in, like, what the fuck is, you don't understand how embarrassing this is? And it crushed our spirit to know he was that mad about being basically tied at halftime with us. And then they just beat us by 40.
40 in the second half?
They just killed us.
Jesus.
Because you can't, when people are that much better than you, like athletically, you can't even get the ball
fucking
up the court. When they really want to play, when they just want to like take it from you.
They have something to play for.
Yeah.
They thought they were just going to walk all over you.
Exactly. It was total like, so.
Wouldn't want to be dealing with that shit. I had a buddy of mine in college who played basketball, and they were playing against this sick team who had this guy, Bunny Jefferson. I've told this story before too, but this kid, Bunny Jefferson, who was like a stud, like six, whatever, he was going college ball, and he would warm up in like pajamas with like bunny slippers. You know what I mean? He would wear bunny slippers in like warm ups. And so they were getting crushed. And they put my buddy in late in the game just to try and pop threes, you know?
Yeah.
And he put up a three and he missed. And he's backpedaling on defense. And he said he was on, they were a 3-on-1 break against him. Time's winding down. And it went like to this guy, to that guy, threw it up to Bunny Jefferson. And Bunny Jefferson just dunked on his face. And there was like 8 seconds left in the game. And it didn't matter. The entire bleachers. Just unloaded the whole school, get in my friend's face, like, oh, what's up now? What's up now? And he's like, holy shit.
It's happened to me enough times It's the fucking worst feeling in the world. When, because you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to stand in, even contest it, or even like take the charge, that's the worst.
Just taking nuts to the fucking face, and they're like, nah, fucking nah, nah, worst. He's good. He's good.
You're in the circle, man. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, there's no circle.
We talked earlier to you too about a road story you said you had.
This is another.
We would love to hear about that.
All right, yeah, it's pretty. I hope I can get through it all. It's a little complicated, but it's another one with Tobler. Oh. He came up earlier, but this is like right when I first met Brant. And
where did you guys meet?
L.A. He knew. You know what's funny about that? I thought he was Brendan Walsh. That's who I thought he was when I first met him. Because I didn't know Brendan that well. But then Brian Moot, who was my roommate at the time, he was telling me, yeah, I've been hanging out with Brendan Walsh. And I knew he just had a beard or whatever. And so I meet Brant, and he's hanging out with Brian the first time I met him. And I was like, Brendan, whatever. I was talking to him like it was Brendan Walsh for like fucking week. But anyway, Brant, I met him in L.A. And then right when we became roommates, he's like, hey, I got these gigs in Indiana. And he was dating this girl named Mara.
Does he always have some little side?
Yeah,
little
yeah. Weird. And that's always how everything fucking, it's always an angle to get into the, he's like, I got these gigs. It's
listen, like man, I got this guy with a diving board, and then I'm going to go shit in his water. Okay?
So it's a week of gigs in Indianapolis. We're supposed to be like every night, she's setting them all up with her friend, Tammy, who lives out there. And like her Twitter friend or something. And so it's like worst case scenario. That's always the best. Worst case scenario, we walk away with like $1,500. That's worst case. And I was like, all right, yeah. I mean, I needed the money. So far, I'm doing stand-in work and shit. So I go, book the flight. We go out there. Now, but in that time between me booking the flight, of course, things go south with Brant and Mar. Like, things fall apart. But I'm like, I got this flight. We're doing these gigs. So everyone's got to just fucking be an adult and help me out here because I got to go make this money. I can't fucking.
Because I'm minimum. Walking away
with $1,500. Worst case scenario, $1,500.
We haven't even discussed the best case.
I mean, if I'm doing stand, it's $200, man.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know if you know my rate. If you know my rate, it's $200 a day, and it's in and out burger. So we go, the second we get in the car, so she picks us up with her friend Tammy in the front. It's me and Brant in the back. He meets me at the Indianapolis airport, and then second she picks us up, it's just fucking World War III. She's crying, screaming.
From the airport?
In like leaving the fucking back, like the car is going out, you can still see the airport. And I'm like, get me out. How do I get out of this? It's going to be a week of this. So we're staying. Here's the other thing. We were staying at this chick Tammy's house with her husband and her two kids.
What?
Yeah. We were staying at her house, which that's why you got to fucking do more research when you agreed to gig. So we're staying at the house. We go to the house. And it's just like I said, they were screaming at each other or whatever. But I'm like, you know what? Let's just get through it. Do the shows. We'll be fine. Get me to at least... Because then when we go, we're going around. We're going up north a little bit. Kalamazoo, doing all these other ones. And there are going to be hotels there or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we get there. They're mad. Brant's playing with the kids. We're just staying in the basement, whatever. First night, we're supposed to have a show. She's like, we're just going to this burger place. I was like, oh, the show's at a burger place? No, there's no show. There's fucking no. We're just eating at a burger place. It was like, well, it was on Man versus Food. It's like, well, so that was like
tour?
The itinerary. Yeah, it was like a tour. It wasn't even fucking a gig that night. So that was the one night. The next night, and then her husband is like there, and he's like one of these super like fucking redneck military guys bragging about how many guns he's got, all this shit. So we go next night, no gig. Next night. Finally, we're going up to Grand Rapids, that club up there,
Grand Rapids.
So they've been screaming at each other the whole time. Yeah, it's just torture. There's no gig. I'm not, like, where are we going to, how
You're
are we going to
make this
Staying
at Tammy's
money?
The whole time?
Staying at Tammy's.
He's got to make this money. He sounds like he's so desperate. Like,
I know. So then, okay, we got a hotel in Kalamazoo, but we're staying in Grand Rapids, if that makes sense. So
how far is that drive?
It's like an hour, right? Or we're not staying in Grand. We're staying in Kalamazoo.
The show in Grand.
Shows in Grand. But we're not on the show. There's no show. She just went because she like Bill Bellamy's headlining. She's like, yeah, we thought we could get guest spots or something.
Jesus Christ!
Right. So we go. There's these two guys opening again. Same thing. They're screaming at each other. There's these two guys opening.
Brant and Mar are screaming at each other.
Yeah.
At any point, do they have sex?
No. No, okay, no, no. So I mean, it's way beyond that. It's just so.
At what point? Where's the money supposed to be coming?
That's what I'm saying. I'm freaking out.
Where's
man?
A ticket sale?
Because I can't
or...
go out.
Sale. I went single on that, by the way. Ticket sale.
There's gonna be a set. So there's these two guys opening for Bill Bellamy or whatever. Brant knows them from.
They're paying, by the way. Yeah. Probably paying to get in.
No. We didn't have to pay to get in the show. We got free admittance to the show. And me and Brant are just kind of doing our own thing, talking in the bar. And we're like, whatever, we'll just go back to the hotel. And there's one car we drove out there in, like this big SUV. Well, then she starts talking like she can't ride in the car with Brant. And I was like, well, she's got to ride in the car with Brant. We're going home. Like, we're going back to the hotel. Well, how else do you want to do it? And so they go back and forth. I'm like, look, you just got to grow up. You got to ride in the car with Brant. That's just the way it's got to be. And so we leave it at that. Then at the end of the night, I'm like, Brant, we got to go to the car. We have to be at the car.
Is she staying in the hotel?
She's staying in the same hotel. She had booked one room. But we just went. We just said, no, we got to book another. So we book another room. She's staying at the hotel in Kalamazoo. And we're all staying in the same hotel, but we have separate rooms now because we had to book those ourselves. So I say, Brant, we got to be at the car like before they are because they may just take off. I got to be like visibly see be able to get in front of the car. They come out. Her, Tammy, and the Six Martin, they come out with these two dudes who open for Bill Bellamy. And like, we're going
to. Tammy's married.
Right.
Tammy's married.
Tammy's married.
You see the irony of the two guys they walked out with, though?
Exactly. So they go, they're like, we're going to the hotel across the street. I'm like, you can't go to the hotel across the street. We got to go. Where are we going? It's like 0 degrees outside. Fucking the club's closed now. What do you want us to do? And then she's like, well, I don't know, but we're going to the hotel. So I'm like, give me the keys. At least give me the keys so we can be in the car, turn the heat on. Yeah, yeah. I was like, give me the keys so we can turn the heat on or whatever and not die out here in the cold.
No, that's the worst.
But she's not going to give me the keys because like, you guys will drive away. I'm like, we're too drunk to drive away. There's no way we can drive away. We're too drunk.
Were they drunk?
Yeah. No, Tammy was sober. That's important to note.
Yeah.
She was sober. And she was supposed to be the driver, right? So they go, all right. So they give me the keys, and they go up to the hotel with these two dudes. So we get in the car, and Brant immediately is like, let's go. We're out. We'll just leave them here. They can figure out that. I was like, no, man. Because I saw it so clearly.
Whose car was it?
It was Tammy's, like, husband's car.
Oh, yeah. There's no way you're taking that thing.
Yeah. So, and I was like, we'll get a DUI. They'll call it stolen, whatever. It's just a bad idea. So I was like, we'll chill here. And Brant's freaking out. He's like, let's just go. Because he's so frustrated because he got us into this shitty situation.
Yeah.
And he feels bad because he got me into it.
Yeah.
It's going so south. Nobody's making any money.
It's south.
It's just the worst. And so he's getting madder and madder until finally he's like calling her. We're just blowing up their phones because it's been like an hour, 2 hours. And we've left like a million voicemails. So finally he calls the kid. He had the kid's number. So Tammy's and her husband, he was playing this game with the kid where they were calling and he was pretending to be celebrities.
Got it.
So he had the kid's number and he called and left a voicemail and the kid didn't pick up the phone.
How old was the kid?
I don't know, like 8, fucking 10. Yeah, you shouldn't have your
kids
own
texting me.
Yeah, you definitely shouldn't let Brant have your number at that age. So, so they're, you know, we're blowing up their phone. They're not answering, whatever. And finally, it's like Brant gets so pissed off. He gets out of the car. He's like, "Fucking, let's go!" He's like in my face. He's like, "Let's." I'm like, "We're not gonna go. We're not gonna get a DUI. We're fucking."
All of a sudden, you're sitting next to the guy at Seattle game right now.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy.
Come on.
So he starts getting so mad. He like rips the door handle off the car. Right. He just fucking pulls it off.
Pulls the
windshield wiper off the back. Pulls that off. Fucking tosses it. Whatever. And he's so mad. And I'm like, "Hey, like, because I know Brant. Brant's my friend." But we're not like we are now.
Yeah.
So like, hey man, so I just start walking. I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going, but I just start walking in the Indiana cold, Michigan cold, or wherever the fuck we were.
Jesus.
He comes after me, calms down. He's like crying. He's like upset.
Was he crying?
Crying.
Yeah, crying. All upset. And so he talks to me, and I'm like, look, what are now?
He's crying because he just ripped a back windshield off a car and a door handle.
Right. So now we got a new situation where I'm like, how are we going to explain the damage to the car? Because it's bad enough that fucking, you know, we're not making any money on this gig, but I can't pay for this lady's new Escalade.
You're already paying for hotels and airfare, man.
So
worst case scenario. Worst case, walking.
We've been leaving
you're
all these.
All right.
Right. So we've been leaving all these voicemails. So they're like time stamped or whatever. So I say, what if we say there was a fight in the parking lot? There's a big fight in the parking lot. We're like, fuck, man, the police are going to come. We got the keys and we can't be here. So we walk away. By the time we get back, your car is all fucked up. That's the story.
This is the story you're going with.
That's the story I'm going
with. Sounds like a pretty good plan.
That I concoct. And then, so we go with it. So then they finally come back and they're both fucked up now. They're both like high and drunk. And so our driver's even out. So it's like, we can't even leave. We can't even go yet. And it's like 4 a.m. So I'm like, now I'm like, wait an hour. I'll just drive. We got everybody. Let's call it good. And they don't even notice the damage, really. They don't even see. They're fucked up enough. They don't even see the broken handle or the back windshield wipers gone. So we get back to the hotel in the morning. Brant gets all these phone calls. Like, because two things happen. So one, they see the damage to the car. And two, they know Brant called this Tammy's kid. Because they get the voicemail. From when he called her kid. And she's like, he's got to go. Because she doesn't want, she's probably like, it's not cool for you to call my kid at, 3 a.m. But two, she knows Brant's chummy with her husband. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want, Brant anywhere near this dude now. Because he's mad at Mara. He's mad at the whole situation. You don't know what he's going to say. So they get him on a flight that day out of Kalamazoo. They just fly him back. Pay for it and everything. And I don't know how much a day of flight from Kalamazoo is to LAX.
It's expensive.
But it's fucking
expensive.
It ain't
direct, that's for sure.
Oh, no. So he's gone. So now, Brant, I got 4 more days of this shit. I got the rest of the week. So they get the car estimated. It's going to be like all this money. They start telling us like, hey, that car's going to be a lot of money. I'm like, yeah, man, you should talk to the club, maybe the insurance or something. That was a big fight. I don't know. And then I got to do the show that night. And then
now there's a real show at this point, finally?
Finally, our first show, which was supposed to be me and Brant Cohet, but now it's a solo act by yours truly because Brant's on
no
the flight.
Opener, nothing?
No opener, nothing. Or Mara, I think Mara opened or hosted or something.
Jesus.
They try to fucking get me, though. So, because they're wise to our story, they don't think that a fight broke out. They think that Brant just fucked up the car, which is what actually happened.
Sure.
So they're like, yeah, we talked to the club, and they say they have security camera footage of the parking lot. So once we're going to look through that and then see for our insurance company.
They got you. That's a good one.
And I was like, well, let's see. Because I know the fucking no comedy clubs got fucking backlog security. I was like, all right, let's see the footage. And finally they get frustrated and they're like, did Brant fuck up my car? I was like, I'm not talking about this shit anymore. You can either have me do the rest of your gigs for the rest of the week and pay me what you said you were going to pay me, or I can just go, I guess, and that's it. But I'm not talking about it anymore. And so they had to drive the car, but they had to get it fixed in Kalamazoo before the husband saw it. And we went back. So we went back to Indianapolis.
Wait a minute. How'd the gig in Kalamazoo go, man?
I was going to say, bottom line, what'd you walk away with?
Yeah. Oh, so... Well, at the end of the whole thing,
let's get to that. Yeah.
They gave me I think I got like $750, and they're like, we'll give Brant, but I was like, you got to pay Brant too. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll pay him. But me and Brant just chopped up the $750. They never paid Brant. But so there was one more gig.
I like Brant still got paid.
I know. No,
after all that shit, you're a friend.
So,
I'll give you half. I did all the work.
They wouldn't even let me though back at the house. Because I was supposed to stay. We had one more. We had the last show in Carmel, Indiana, and which is close to their house. So I was just going to stay at the house. But they're like, where are you going to stay? You got to stay. And so I had to stay at like this Super 8 fucking. I had to pay for it. The worst hotel I've ever stayed in my life. It was so bad that they gave me. I've never seen this before in my life, but I didn't have a key for the room. They had to let me in the room every time
I
wanted to go in.
What?
The electronic key card wouldn't work. And I was like, the only one that worked is like the master electronic key card. So anytime I left, I had to go to the fucking front desk and let me into my shitty hotel room.
Damn.
So that was like, yeah, that's basically
and
it.
And put it this way, you're going to be friends for life when you're still friends with the kid after he puts you through that shit.
Yeah, and I was first date. That's like right when I first started dating Heidi too. And I couldn't fucking tell her. And I was like on the phone with her at night. And I was like, I can't tell her this is what the roads look.
No way.
Not when you're looking into Tobey Maguire's eyes.
Yeah. So I couldn't even say. I was just like, yeah, it's, It's kind of crazy. You know, these shows, hecklers, man.
Well, thank you for coming on, man. We are, I know, right? This is a good time.
That was a long story to try and fit in the
end. No, don't worry about it. It was a good story. Thank you for coming on and sharing all your stories.
It was a good story, man.
And will you, one more time, your social media, your Conan date, all that stuff, please?
Yeah, so September 17th, I think Thursday night, and at Andrew Slater on Twitter, andrewcomedy.com.
Love it, man. Thanks for coming on. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.